To say Jennifer Pandolfo is a dynamo is an understatement. As assistant director and director of services at Sites for Hope in Monroe, Northampton, and Lehigh counties, the regional nonprofit offers programs to help those with partial to total vision loss maintain their independence.
Sites for Hope, we are a nonprofit organization. We serve Monroe, Northampton, and Lehigh counties. And we work with people who are visually impaired and blind. We help them and provide them with the skills, the support, and the solutions to help enhance their self-sufficiency. So our goal is to help our clients become as independent as possible with their vision loss.
What are some of the specialized services your organization provides?
First and foremost, we provide transportation. That's our biggest service. Transportation to doctor's appointments, food access, like the grocery store or food pantries, to the bank and the pharmacy, or any type of social service, like Social Security or DMV, things like that, where people need to get to these places in order to do their business, and they may not have other means of getting there. Our drivers are employees who have been trained to be sighted guides, so they help our clients from door through door, we call it, so that our clients are able to safely get out of their home and get to their destination and then safely back home. And the drivers are there to help them along the way, make a new appointment, fill out forms at the doctor, find items and prices at the grocery store. They're there to do all of that, to in a sense be the client's eyes for whatever it is they need help until they've learned to do it themselves.
What kind of training do they have in order to work with different types of individuals?
The training that we provide is what we call the sighted guide training, in which we teach them how to help lead somebody around and help be assistants and encourage that independence and not do for. So that's always ongoing training. All of our staff have such big hearts and they want to help our clients and they want to be there for them. But really our point is for them to be independent. So there's a fine line between helping and doing and helping them learn how to do it themselves. Independence and purpose, it's huge. Every client has a caseworker. The caseworker is able to help the clients, read their mail, pay their bills, fill out applications. Everything in today's world is so visual. Computers, our cell phones, everything is so visual. So it's about learning how to do those things differently. And the caseworkers are there to help do it with them or for them until they learn how to do it themselves. And so we also have classes in which we teach all of those skills. We have people who can work with our clients one-on-one, come to their house in their own environment and say, this is how you do this. This is how you cook. This is how you identify what's on the washing machine, or this is how you identify colors. All the different things that we do on a daily basis that we use our eyes for, we take for granted. We have to teach these people how to do things differently because they no longer can do it using their vision.
As we get older, we may need glasses or even bifocals to help us to read. For those who can't see or maybe just lost their sight, do you have anyone on your staff that teaches Braille so they can read as well?
Yes, so we do teach Braille. Braille has to be taught, though, from someone who has the certification to teach it. So that's someone who's called a vision rehab therapist. And they come in and they teach Braille, which is a very difficult skill. Again, it's different than reading because you're using your hands. But they're there to teach that. And they've been specially trained to not just teach Braille, but to teach people how to cook or clean or just do their daily living skills, that they go in and they do it either in a group setting or an individual setting and teach them those skills. One thing that has been happening a lot lately is teaching our clients how to use technology in order to do all of those things instead of learning Braille, because that's kind of the direction and this world is going in. So there are numerous technology devices that will either enhance something that you need to read to make it bigger or smaller or a different color, depending on what your eye condition is, that will actually help you maybe be able to use the vision you have left, or it might speak for you so that you can just listen to it and use your hearing to learn whatever it is that you're trying to read. There's also a ton of apps on your cell phone. Learning to use your cell phone in an auditory fashion rather than a visual fashion is a lot of what we do to teach people how to just do things differently and use the technology they already have to make their life a little bit easier. AI now can describe a room and explain what's in front of you. We have so many stories of people who've gotten into a room and can't find the way out. So being able to use an app like that can help them find the door. There's an app called Be My Eyes, and this is for anybody. Be My Eyes uses volunteers. This is an easy way to volunteer. You go online and become a volunteer for them. The visually impaired people call in, and then when you're available, you go and you have access to their back camera to be able to see what it is they need to see. And a lot of times it's really quick. Like, is this pepper or is this paprika? Which spice am I trying to use here? Or a guy called, I was on at Christmas time because I was showing my family, and he came on and he was going to church and he could smell that his dog pooped in his apartment, but he couldn't find it and he needed my help finding it, so he didn't step in it in his church shoes. So just real simple things. We helped him find it and cleaned it up, went on his way. It's all over the world, all types of languages. I had a client who used it to read her glucose meter, and she would do it in the middle of the night and somebody from England would get on and help her read it. So it's very helpful. A lot of our clients use that to help them in those everyday tasks to say, hey, I need immediate help and I can't do this on my own or with the other technology I might exist right now.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
It's awesome. It's a great app. The apps are great too, but we also have a lot of technology. We have a low vision store in both of our locations. And the low vision store is full of different types of devices that someone who's visually impaired can use to make their life a little bit easier. So magnifiers, sunglasses, talking watches, pillboxes, things like that. But there's also a line of electronic devices that, again, will magnify or talk to you to let you know what it is that you're seeing. So it's just going to help you use your hearing instead of your vision in order to read what we normally do, read mail or the calendar or what have you. We also have a line of what we call wearable technology, which people can wear on their face like glasses. Some of them look like sunglasses and some of them look like virtual reality glasses, almost like goggles. But the technology is getting a little bit more advanced. So I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with the Meta glasses. There are a lot of devices like that on the market where people can just put on a pair of glasses and ask Meta, what is it that I see? Or what does this say? And AI will read it out loud to you. So you have your hands free to do whatever it is you're doing. If you're at a restaurant and need to read a menu, you can just take a picture and then the glasses or the technology will tell you what it is that you're looking at or reading. A lot of these things are connected to Bluetooth, so you could wear earphones and nobody else has to hear what's being said, so you don't look different or obscure.
I just wanted to talk now about the psychological part of maybe a person losing their vision. Maybe they come to you and their sight is not as good as it used to be, and then eventually they have a situation where things are getting progressively worse until it's total blindness. What about any kind of therapy to help them try to adjust?
We do offer different types of support groups at both locations. It's a group therapy situation where the group comes together and talks about the emotionality of losing their vision. I often say that losing your vision is like losing anything else, and it's a process. And there is a big emotional component to it. You're not just losing your vision, you're losing your independence, you're losing your friends, you're losing your purpose, all the things that you used to be able to do. So how do I get that back and how do I gain that? And there's other people around me who have already been there or are doing the same thing, and I'm not alone. We also offer one-on-one counseling to what we call adjustment to blindness counseling, with a certified counselor who will help them talk about those emotional things about losing their vision and what positive steps they can take to regain their independence.
Do you go through the therapy first before you introduce them to all of the tools and so forth so they can get acclimated to that?
I think it's different for everybody. Some people just want to jump in and they want the technology, they want to solve the problem, and then the emotions come later, where other people, they want to get over the emotions before. We kind of let the client decide how they want to approach their journey. You know, and if somebody is losing their vision, I like to tell people to learn as much as you possibly can now so that when you do lose your vision, it's not such a shock. You already have the tools and the skills before you actually get there. So a lot of people know that they've been diagnosed with certain eye condition and that they're eventually going to lose their vision. It's better for you to learn early on while you still have some vision, some of these techniques and tricks, so that when you do lose your vision, you're prepared.
Aside from the remarkable volunteers you have, do you have any doctors on your staff to lend their expertise when someone loses their vision?
Yeah, so we do have a low vision doctor, Dr. Silvetti. He specializes in low vision. He only does low vision. So he does come to our office and he offers our clients an eye exam, and then he uses his expertise to help recommend the correct devices for them to do what they want to do to be independent. Some people want to be able to go back to work. Some people want to catch the bus. But some people just want to be able to heat up their microwave in the morning and read the newspaper. So it's all very individualized, and it helps them kind of get to where they want to be able to maintain that independence.
You've gotten all bases covered. Taking a look now, stepping back, what's some of the feedback that you get from the people who are being helped?
Most of the people that we help are so appreciative. They feel like we're a lifeline for them. A lot of them, like I said, they've lost their vision. They've had to quit their job. We've had a lot of people come to our organization who were doctors and lawyers and professional people who had big careers. And now all of a sudden they don't. And they've lost their colleagues. They've lost their friends. They've lost their purpose. And now what? This kind of gives them an out. It gives them a place to go, feel like they belong, someone to teach them that life isn't over just because this happened to them, but that there's a hand to hold and that there's other people like them to help them get through this and find the other side.
Are they also taught, too, that their other senses are a little bit more enhanced?
You know, when we start to lose something, our first instinct is to hold on to it and to keep trying to use the vision that we don't have, rather than letting that go and trying to use the other senses is a very important part of the process.
Your social work background, you see reactions. You see people almost like a flower blooming. Blossoming,
yes.
When they come back.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So tell us some of those kinds of stories.
I had a client call me once angry, very angry, and very upset. She had just thrown her computer against the wall, and she needed help. She knew she needed help for a while, but she kept trying to do it herself. And things were getting worse, and she wound up getting angry and throwing her computer against the wall. And I told her to come visit with the clients, come visit to our programs, and meet everybody and learn. And she came, and she absolutely felt like her life was changed. She met friends that she didn't have before, family she didn't have before. She felt like she now has a place to belong, that she can be herself, and other people understand what she's going through. So she's lost that anger. She's now accepting of her vision loss. She's learned to live and adjust her life and her business to be able to keep doing the things that she loves. But she's also now able to help other people who maybe are now in that same situation where they're angry and they're sad and they're just mad at everybody. And she just kind of holds their hand and says, it's going to be okay. We're going to walk this through together. So it's very important. We have another woman who was a very big motorcyclist, and she loved to ride her motorcycle everywhere. And she lost her vision and she couldn't do it anymore. And she begged the doctor to allow her to continue riding, but it was not just dangerous for her, but for the rest of us on the road. And she called me kind of out of desperation, like, what can you do? I need to get back on my motorcycle. That I can't do. I can't get you back on the road. Come to group and I can give you a sense of community and a sense of family and friends and people who will give you a new purpose. And so she came, and she, after the first support group, she said, thank you so much for saving my life. I don't know where I would be without you. And on countless stories that people have said to me that they were on the verge of choosing not to be alive anymore before they called and reached out, or someone reached out on their behalf. People felt like they didn't have a purpose. They felt like their life was over. And they came and they realized, my life isn't over. I just have to do it differently. And they see other people living their life successfully, running businesses and raising families and doing all the things that people love to do, hiking and traveling and reading and all the things that people love to used to do, and being happy and successful people. And they're like, if they can do it, I can do it.
Every one of us go through our trials, some more serious than others, but we go through our trials. But we're taught when you're going through a hard time, hopefully it's going to make you stronger for the next trial,
right?
You know, so whatever happens, it's going to keep you a little more hardy. Losing your vision, though, I mean, that's probably one of the most important of all of the five senses.
Right.
Do people come into you after they've lost their vision totally and feel as though this is it? I can't see my world the way I want to see it. I have to reimagine it all over again.
A lot of people, they're afraid they're not going to be able to remember what things looked like, what their family looked like, what their grandkids look like, what the sunset looks like. They're afraid of losing those things. But I think what a lot of our clients learn is that it's not what things look like, but how we make each other feel. And that's important. I think Helen Keller said, the less you see with your eyes, the more you see with your heart. That is one of the biggest things that I've learned out of this job. And I think that is something that a lot of our clients learn and maybe see what's in their heart and rely on that and learn that that's what's most important.
What's most important to you? You oversee all of these programs. You see people that are thriving because they have joined groups and they're feeling really good about life and they are seeing things in a different way. How does that impact you?
It makes me feel proud that the work we do every day impacts other people in such a great degree. But it also humbles me that people go through this all of the time and they take their situation and they turn it around with our help. And it helps me when maybe life gets tough for me to say, wait a second, I'm going to take a page out of my own book and what I preach to other people and apply it to my life. You know, we all want to go in one direction when really maybe it's better if we make a left turn. It's very humbling to be with these people, but they're my people. They're my family. They're my friends. They all give me a great sense of purpose and makes me very proud to see how successful a lot of them have become.
Up to this point, we have been talking basically about adults losing their vision. But do you have any additional services or any programs that might be able to help children who might be losing their sight?
A separate part of our organization is what we call prevention. Our prevention team does education for kids under the age of 6 about how to keep their eyes healthy and safe. It's a little puppet show we call See Well Bunny. He comes and he does a little show for the kids about keeping their eyes safe and eating their vegetables to keep their eyes healthy. And then we do vision screenings for kids with a special spot machine that takes a picture of their eyes and can pick up 6 different eye conditions in kids really quick. And if they do not pass that screening, we work with the parents in order for that child to see an optometrist, in order for that child to get vision help, glasses. The idea is that kids go into kindergarten visually ready. They don't get lost or fall behind because they aren't ready for school. So that is a big part of what we do as well.
I don't know about you, but lots of times, especially if you're in front of a computer screen, it's very hard on your eyes, and that's what they're using in the schools now. You know, no
Correct.
More writing on pen and paper. So does that mean that you have more children now that seem to have difficulties with vision because of all of that interaction with a computer?
I think we saw a spike during COVID of kids that were not passing the visual test because kids were spending so much time on the computer. So I know especially preschool teachers try to avoid that and they try to get the kids to take breaks. It's so important to get the kids to take breaks. And that's a big part of our prevention program is to teach the kids to take breaks from their screens and go outside and play, give their eyes a rest.
You impress me as someone who is a lot of fun, but you exactly know where to draw that line and not being able to take all this stuff home.
Right.
That's a hard thing to do, especially when you have a lot of people that you love them and you want to try to help them.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you draw that line in the sand?
It is hard, and it's something that we're always training the staff to do as well. But I try to be present when I'm at work, to be at work, and when I'm at home, to be at home, to be with my husband and my kids, focus on what we're doing so that both get equal attention.
As time is moving forward, you've got some terrific programs and some great volunteers. Mm-hmm. But what would you like to see happen for the future of your organization?
I would just like to see us become a little bit bigger than we are, to have more resources. We just don't have enough staff, enough volunteers, enough vehicles to get everybody where they need to go. Sometimes we have to turn people down or reschedule things in order to get people to their doctor's appointments because we just don't have enough drivers or enough staff to fill everything everybody needs at a given time and day. So to maybe grow a little bit, more caseworkers, more drivers, more vehicles would be great.
What do you want us, and I mean us as the 22 county us, what do you want us to see and to remember about your organization, Sights for Hope?
That we are here to help anybody who might need it, and that there is help out there if people are struggling with vision loss, to reach out because the help does exist.
Special thanks to Jennifer Pandolfo, Assistant Director and Director of Services of Sights for Hope, with locations in Monroe, Northampton, and Lehigh counties. Jennifer says she's inspired by the people she meets every day and feels the gift of seeing through one's heart makes life even more precious. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.